Good morning and welcome back to Public Pulse, proudly brought to you by our friends out there at First Federal Bank and Trust. I'm Floyd Whiting. Joining me for the second part of the show this morning is internal medicine physician at Sheridan Memorial Hospital's primary care clinic, Dr. Aaron Henderson. Good morning, doctor, and welcome to the show.
Good morning. Thanks for having me.
Now, how was your new year? How do doctors ring in the new year?
I have to say it was pretty quiet. We celebrated probably the New York New Year's and we were in bed early. It's pretty lame, but you know.
I think it's great. That's pretty much exactly the way that the majority of the people I've spoken to New Year about, you know, quiet, sitting at home, watching the clock turn and then heading to bed.
Yep.
Now, I've been asking kind of New Year's questions for individuals. I don't like resolutions, but we all have certain things in our lives that we're like, you know what? It's a new year. I might as well get this done. So the question I'm asking today is, what is one task or project that you would like to complete this year? This can be professional or this can be personal.
Well, I think we recently moved to Sheridan, so we hustled and moved here, and we have lots of boxes at our home. So my project for the year is going through the old stuff and getting rid of what we don't need.
Making the big sacrifices. I know how that is. My wife just went, we've got a very nice walk-in closet. And when we got married, boy, that thing filled up really fast. Well, she took an entire Saturday and came out of there with six black garbage bags.
Whoa.
Full of clothes that she just donated to the church. So, wow, it just kind of surprised me. What surprised me even more, walking into the closet, it doesn't look any more empty than it did the other. I don't know where she managed to pull those things from, but they're still there. You said you just moved into the area. I didn't realize you were new to the area. Where did you come from?
So we moved from Southwest Colorado, a little town called Cortez.
Ah.
And so this is kind of a big change for us, but we like small towns, and we were ready for a change.
Now, is Cortez somewhat the same size as Sheridan, or is this like moving to the big city compared to where you were?
It's moving to the big city compared to where we were. Cortez is about 6,000 people.
Oh, wow.
So we had a Walmart. But,
ooh, fancy.
Right. But that's about it. So,
can you remember, and I ask this of every doctor that Sheridan Memorial sends me, because I think it's a very important question. The moment you decided this is what I want to do with my life, what was that? What was that moment?
That kind of drove my decision?
Yeah.
Well, I guess it would be quite a few things adding up. I've always liked the basic sciences. My degree is in biochemistry and molecular biology. And I actually worked in a lab for a few years in Denver before I decided I definitely wanted to be a physician instead of like a researcher. And I think I just really like the overlap that medicine gives between having relationships with people, taking care of people, but then also getting to apply all the basic science, you know, that I learned along the way and that I still have a passion for.
Yeah.
So
now when it comes to like the day-to-day internal medicine, because that's kind of what this is, right? Like you are a general physician that we think of doctor.
Yep.
We go in and get to have that conversation with
you,
right? So how much of the past, I guess you could say, medicines do we still apply today? When we look at the science of medicine itself, we look at how far we've come in such a short amount of time. How much do you still reach back to the basics? You know, let me look at your fingernails. Let me look at your hair. You know, I can tell from this, that, or the other.
I would say I still like to do that, and I think a lot of it is still relevant. I mean, people notice in their own bodies what's changing, and they are always like, hey, I want you to look at this. So it all plays a role, and I think that's what makes my job so enjoyable is getting to talk to people and getting to know them and taking what's ailing them and kind of figuring it out and then making a plan for helping them to feel better.
Yeah, so it's almost as if like the evaluation itself reaches back to the old ways of doing things, because now I got it figured out. But now the new science is I got a treatment for that.
Correct. And our treatments are better. So we still use a lot of the old medicines. I mean, they're generic, they're affordable, they're proven, they're safe.
Yeah.
But then this is a fun time to be a doctor too, because there's a lot of new technology coming down the pike that we can really help to lengthen people's lives or help them to live healthier longer. So
now, as we look at the most rewarding aspect of that experience, what is that to you? Because, I mean, we think of like our family doctors from back in the day. You know, they knew everybody. My father loves to tell a story. When his grandmother passed away in very rural Nebraska, she sat in one chair and the doctor came to her and he would stay for 2-3 hours. He would have tea and hang out.
I wish I could still do that.
Right?
Yeah. I truly do. You know, when I went into this, it was more about the science. And I have to admit, the longer that I've been a physician, it's definitely the long-term relationships that make it at the end of the day.
Yeah.
And keep me going as a physician when there's so many pressures from insurance companies and paperwork and all of that. It's, you know, the science is still exciting, but it's the relationships. I mean, I practiced in Cortez for 12 years, and I had a hard time giving up and telling my patients that we needed to make a change personally. So,
I mean, some folks might not feel that it's this way anymore. But the one thing about, you know, the primary care clinic is we're trying to get back to that intimate relationship where you delivered me as a child and you took care of me through football season and all my sports, and you're my doctor. You know, we're trying to get back to that, aren't we?
Yeah, we are. And I think that this primary care clinic is doing a fantastic job of getting people in and doing things to help keep their doctors.
Yeah.
I think
people tend to like that better. You know,
yeah. It
almost like a therapist. I'd rather just stick with her, you know.
Yeah.
She knows everything about me and I just want to stick to my doctor.
Yep.
If she wants me to go see somebody, she'll tell me. And if she trusts them, I trust. It's an intimate relationship.
It is. And that's something that takes time. And, you know, there are all these pressures about how to keep the doors open and things like that, that you need to see more people. But there's a balance, too, of the right amount of time with people and keeping the doors open. So.
And being able to get enough patients in through the day.
Correct.
Because you don't want someone to feel like, you know, well, okay, yeah, your toe's going to be fine, Jerry. Get on out of here.
Right.
I got someone else to see.
Right.
I want to address that toe.
Exactly.
We're gonna take care of you. Now, when we look at taking care of ourselves, though, I'm notorious for not doing this. Self-care has always probably been one of my greatest weaknesses. Preventative health care. This is something we should all be doing. But tell me what it is. What is preventative healthcare?
Well, I mean, in the clinic, if you're coming in to see your doctor, we're talking about screening exams and things to help catch disease early before it becomes a bigger problem. So whether that's cancer screenings, depending on your age range, looking at your weight, your blood pressure, kind of your diet, immunizations, things such as that.
Now, if we look at why so few people take these measures to do these things, what is the theory or what is research shown?
You know, I saw that statistic that only like 6% of people do preventive health care. And I don't know why the number is so low. Health care is complex.
Yeah.
And it's hard to know where to start, who to meet with. I think the insurance piece of it is confusing. People come in and they say, I want my preventive health exam, but they have several other concerns. And then there's, you know, questions about what's covered by insurance and what isn't. So I think that part we could do a better job on educating people.
And I think that is kind of one of the issues. I will admit, you know, I've got certain benefits from the VA due to my time in the military. And even so, I'm horrible. I've had the same pair of glasses for 3 years, you know, and I get them for free, for goodness sake. All I got to do is go down there and pick them up. But I just don't take advantage of that kind of stuff.
Right.
And I don't know why. you know, if we ever figure that out, that's the key, right?
It is the key. I think we all work too much.
There you go. Yeah. Now, we all hear about those cancer screenings. What other types of exams and screenings should individuals actually schedule each year to help prevent something from catching us by surprise?
Yeah. So definitely for most people, that's going to be some sort of lab exam. If you have certain risk factors, depending on your family history, we might be looking at diabetes, looking at your cholesterol, and just kind of basic things, your kidney, your liver, your electrolytes. Those things can actually give us a lot of information.
Now, what about younger people? Because, you know, when I was in my 20s, I didn't go to the doctor.
Right.
You know, the military said, hey, let's check you out. All right, you could still jump and run. That's good enough for them.
Right. So,
but what about the everyday individual out there who's still pretty young and spry? Should they be looking forward, though, like this?
They should. And, you know, for younger women, I think most of them, well, maybe not all of them, but they should be in having a pap smear to screen for cervical cancer. That's kind of the big cancer screening for women that age. But we are also looking at blood pressure and diabetes and diet. I mean, we're learning more and more what an impact diet has on all kinds of health conditions. And I think having that conversation periodically, for a young, healthy man, you probably don't need to check in every year, but you should check your blood pressure, because heading these things off early is going to prevent problems down the road when you're wanting to retire.
Now, I know you're the doctor, you're not the individual who's taking care of all the insurance stuff. But if we look at preventative medicine, does that help with insurance costs down the line? Or do you think it would, if we keep turning these into our insurance company and they're like, you know what, this guy's taking care of himself. He's taking these screenings. He's making sure everything's all right. Again, if you're not that person, you're not that person.
I don't know. I mean, I know certain employers will give like a discount on premium I know certain health insurance companies, at least where I used to practice, would give like a gift card if you went in and had your blood pressure checked, for example. So I think there are some incentives that way. I think the bigger incentive should be for the individual that you know that your blood pressure is good and that you kind of check that off. So,
yeah. Now, I turned 44 this year. Big year. What should someone my age start thinking about? Because there's a lot of individuals. I mean, we're all living longer. And
Right. Believe
it or not, someone might look at me and say, oh, you're 44, you're still young.
Right.
Middle age has gone a little higher and a little higher.
Right.
But I mean, I'm a middle-aged man.
Right. So I think one of the biggest things that people may not be aware of is that they've just lowered the screening age for colorectal cancer.
Really?
To age 45, because we are now seeing more colon cancer as well as stomach and pancreatic cancer in younger folks.
That's odd.
There's no guidelines at this point for screening for stomach or pancreatic cancer, but the colon cancer screening threshold has decreased.
You know, I think I read something not too long ago. A lot of cancers showing up in younger kids.
Yes.
And when I say that, I mean anyone in their 30s and 20s.
No, you're right about that.
Yeah,
yeah, and that's pretty alarming.
Yeah, we're still trying to figure that out.
Correct. And there's probably dietary factors, possibly environmental factors, but I know it's being studied.
And so, you know, these screenings and tests that we may have reserved for over 50, we may want to just go in, get checked, like you said, maybe once a year, every other year, maybe.
Correct.
Because this is a real thing.
Correct. Correct. And that's where, too, like having, for someone your age, just if you were overweight or obese or you have a family history, we'd be looking at your blood pressure, diabetes, and some of these other risk factors for heart disease and things like that.
Yeah, my father had high cholesterol, and he's kind of an old cowboy. So he worked at a mine. It was his mine that actually found that he had high cholesterol.
Oh, wow.
And they instantly put him on medication. And he said, I feel fine. But the mine said, you're not leaving here without this script, buddy. And so he had to start taking pills right away. He didn't even know that that was going on.
Yeah, and that's how a lot of these things are. You know, you don't feel it until it's, you know, you have a big event,
yeah,
a heart attack or what have you. So
you want to make sure that you're getting in there and getting these visits done. Now, do wellness visits actually help manage and prevent chronic illness like this by catching stuff early? You see that a lot?
Yeah, we do. And like the examples that I gave, I think just the most common ones, because they're common things, diabetes, high blood pressure, they do help to catch those things early, high cholesterol. Even like we're seeing more fatty liver disease and what we call metabolic syndrome. And that's related to the American diet.
Really?
And all these things kind of compound and increase your risk for heart attacks down the road or strokes and certain types of cancer. So yeah, heading these things off early can be helpful. And so I want to clarify, the preventive health exam that's typically covered by your insurance covers the screenings. And then if those things turn up a problem, then we're going to be having you back for another visit to talk about management. And it's billed differently, but for most people, it's a copay.
And it's a heck of a lot cheaper to change your diet than start cancer treatment.
Correct. Or even a hospitalization for a heart attack. I mean,
yeah. Now, I don't have a lot of time left with you, but it's a new year. Statistically, many individuals have already fallen off their bandwagon for their health-related New Year's resolutions. If you were to sit back and give folks one piece of advice on how to live a healthier life going forward, what would that be?
So, poor diet is the leading cause of mortality in the United States. So I would urge people to take a hard look at their diet. And we all consume way too much sugar and probably ultra processed and fast foods, fried foods, those sorts of things. So I would say just look at how much you're getting in each of these categories. There's guidelines out there for how much sugar you should take in, but I'd say sugar is a big problem in the U.S. And most people consume like 17 teaspoons of sugar a day. Over the course of a year, that's like 60 pounds of sugar.
Holy cow.
And that impacts so many different health issues, heart disease, diabetes, obesity, different types of cancer. So looking at what the guidelines are and just trying to cut back. No one has to do a perfect job of this, but look at what you're getting and just try to make small changes.
And it's sugar is one of those things, you know, we all ran around worrying about grease and fat for so long that I think this guy snuck in under the bar.
Yeah.
And is really kind of taking advantage of us. And here's my issue, Doc. I'm a recovering alcoholic and I am now a sugar addict.
Uh-oh.
I'm terrible about it. So, but after talking with you this morning, maybe me and the wife will sit down and take a hard look at my diet because I want to live a little longer.
Yeah, take a look at it. And I just wanted to point out just a super quick resource. The American Heart Association actually has just a nice brief webpage. It's www.heart.org that just talks about how much sugar is in different foods and just how to make some quick changes. And it's pretty short and to the point.
Thank you so much. And thank you, Doc, for coming in this morning. It's a pleasure to meet you and I hope to see you again.
Yeah, thank you so much for having me. It's been fun.
You've been listening to Public Pulse on 930 KROE at 103.9 FM. Sheridan.
Have you ever wondered what makes First Federal Bank and Trust unique? We're a mutual bank, which means our focus is on you. Unlike other banks, we don't pay shareholders. We pay our community. At First Federal Bank and Trust, your financial interests drive our decisions. Bank with us and experience the mutual bank difference, where the power of community fuels your financial success. First Federal Bank and Trust is Sheridan's only mutual bank. Member FDIC.
So I got pulled over and the cop comes up to my window and said, "Papers?" I said, "Scissors, I win." And I drove off and he chased me for miles. I think he wanted a rematch. The same thing goes for you and your 4x4, side-by-side or snowmobile, if you don't keep them tuned up, repaired, or serviced. You need to get that machine to Hando Service Center. Don't wait for the big breakdown that costs you a fortune. Get that machine into Hando's and save that money hand over fist. Hando Service Center on Sheridan's Heartland Drive.
Man, I just heard your car crying in the parking lot. It really needs an oil change. I know you've been putting it off because of the cost, but here's a deal you can't pass up. Through January at Midas, buy an oil change, get a second one free to use by March. It's perfect to share with a family member. And Midas also gives your car a thorough inspection to identify any current problems and help plan for any upcoming repairs. Helping your car care dollars go farther will keep you safely on the road. See Midas Tire and Auto in Sheridan.
Have you been considering buying or selling real estate? My name is Callie Munsick, and I was born and raised in Buffalo. I have years of experience working as a real estate marketing consultant. Let me take my knowledge and passion for real estate to help navigate you through your real estate transaction. Call me to discuss all of your options or check us out online at buffalorealtyllc.com. Callie at Buffalo Realty, connecting people with property.
At Carpet Design, their showroom showcases the latest in flooring, including carpeting, luxury vinyl, tile, laminate, all types of hardwood flooring. You'll see what's new in color, texture, and technology. If your flooring is showing its age or you're just ready to make a change, come see what's new and exciting at Carpet Design. Check out their large selection of in-stock flooring in the warehouse. Free estimates, 643 Riverside Carpet Design.
The following message presented by First Federal Bank and Trust, Sheridan's only mutual bank. Visit efirstfederal.bank.
Sheridan County Sportsman's Association Gun Club is hosting an NRA basic pistol class. This class meets the requirements for a Wyoming concealed carry permit, February 17th. 22 caliber pistols and ammunition will be provided, or bring your own. Register at NRA Courses website or call or text Sheila at 307-752-5331. That's 307-752-5331.